And now the game where we invite very successful people on to answer the kinds of questions they thought they'd only have to deal with if they had failed. More than 30 years ago, there was this high school teacher in Maine. He was trying to write in his spare time. And one day, his wife found a manuscript that he had thrown in the trash, and she picked it up, and she read through it, and she said, "Hey, this isn't so bad. Maybe you should pick it up and finish it." And so Stephen King finished Carrie, his first international bestseller. It was followed by approximately 4,000 more of them. It's made him one of the most successful authors in human history. Stephen King, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. You know, we looked up a little bit about you, your biography from your own website. There seems to be nothing in your childhood to indicate that you would become, to use the cliched phrase, the modern master of horror, the person who scared more people than, well, anybody outside of political office. Do you have an explanation for what led you to all this scary, monstrous stuff?
No, but I have a question. Why do you ask about my childhood?
Because
you know what? Everybody does that because there's sort of this unspoken subtext. Yeah. What screwed you up?
Yeah, well, I didn't want to put it that bluntly, but maybe I should have just gone there.
Hey, listen, I've been around. This is my first rodeo. I'm used to that question.
Yeah, I can imagine. And what is your answer when that question is asked?
I just lie.
You just lie.
Yeah, sure.
What do you mean? Do you lie in the sort of the
Baroque? No. I don't actually lie, but nobody believes the truth, which is I had a perfectly normal childhood.
Yeah.
And I just like scary things. It's part of the equipment.
Did you, when you were a kid, was that your thrill? Did you like scary books, scary movies? That was your
thrill?
Sure,
yeah. I just read this wonderful book about the comics from the 50s, and that was what really warped my grooves, I would say, to begin with. Things like Vault of Horror and Crypt of Terror.
Oh, sure,
like
the old EC Comics. That's
pre-code.
EC. Do you think your mother waking you up with a cleaver had any kind of effect?
No, what happened was I read about the cleaver, and I woke her up. Fox, I get into bed with you, and that's pretty Freudian, right?
Yeah, I guess so. However, I mean, speaking of your childhood, one of the things that drew me so much to your books when I was a kid, when I was sort of a geeky teenager, is that there were a lot of geeky teenagers in your books who either became the heroes and defeated the villain, or even more alluringly, gained supernatural powers and wreaked vengeance upon their many enemies.
Yeah, right.
We think of Carrie, we think of the lead character in Christine. So were you saying anything about your own high school years?
No, but I saw a lot in high school. I think everybody, first of all, everybody in high school feels like the geek. I always felt like if you are 10 years out of high school and you say, damn, those were the best years of my life, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah. They all end up being cops in the town they grew up with, so they're easy to avoid.
Wow.
Oh, Peter, you're going to get emails on that one.
Yeah, I know.
Not to mention traffic tickets.
Yeah, I know.
I'd take the bus from now on.
Stephen, I wanted to ask you this. I mean, as a big fan, I know that one of the things that you're very good at is you take the mundane, you're very good at sort of the mundane details of life, and then you make them terrifying. You add details or your twists or monsters that, like, you know, for example, a supermarket in The Mist becomes a horrible place, or a car is possessed, or a dog in Cujo. Well, we were wondering, given that insight you have into what's frightening, how do you think we could make this radio show frightening? How could we make, I mean, would it be possible to sort of take this sort of very mild-mannered public radio news quiz and make it scary? What would we have to do, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're kind of like putting me under the gun here, but probably in radio, wouldn't you say the scariest thing is dead air?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I mean, think about that air, if that air was really dead and then it came alive. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think it's got possibilities?
Yeah.
All right.
Right. Like if we stopped talking, terrible things could happen.
Well, yes.
Sort of
terrible
like
things could could happen probably to you there in the studio.
That's good.
Should this cord be going around Adam's neck right now?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, welcome to Radio Drama.
That's great. Yeah,
yeah.
Tales calculated to keep you in
suspense.
That's right.
Well, Stephen King, we are delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're the warmest, fluffiest, most unthreatening friend ever.
So you've made your living frightening people, so we thought we'd ask you three questions about the people and things that were created to undo the psychic damage that you have wrought. answer two of these three charming, lovely, kind questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine.
I hope your listener isn't pining for that prize.
No. I'm sure they don't care. Carl, who is author Stephen? I'm just trying to make him feel better.
I got you.
I'm just trying to lower the tension for Mr. King.
If only the radio listeners could see that single tear trickling down Carl's face right now.
All right, here we go. Carl, who is author Stephen King playing for?
He is playing for Laird and Diane Kentor from Houston, Texas.
All right, ready to play?
I'm ready to play.
All right, first question. We all remember Lamb Chop, the adorable puppet character, performed and voiced by Sherry Lewis. That's right. Lamb Chop. Ms. Lewis, although sweet and kind to everyone, mostly, had her peculiarities, including which of these? A, in private, she liked to vent her frustrations and anger with what she called a just-for-me puppet named Meat Grinder. B, whenever she went out to eat, she liked to order lamb chops, rare, just to horrify the waiters. Or C, sometimes she would suddenly hit or pinch the person standing next to her and say, sorry, but lamb chop told me to do that.
Well, the one that's the most attractive is the homicidal puppet, of course.
Yes.
But I'm going to go for C.
You're going to go for C? That she would just pinch people and go, oh, I'm sorry.
Pinch people, lamb chop told me to do that.
Yes, and she could not resist. Sadly, it was B. She liked to order lamb chops in restaurants. She said she did that, quote, at every opportunity. You still have two chances here, so we can still win this thing. Perhaps the most widely known cute and lovable character around the world is Hello Kitty, introduced by the Japanese company Sanrio back in 1976. The mouthless kitty cat has appeared in a huge variety of products, including, most recently, which of these? A, the Hello Kitty brand toupee. B, a small, easily concealable Hello Kitty revolver. Or C, crates of contraband Hello Kitty cocaine.
I'm going to go for the concealable revolver.
The Hello Kitty concealable revolver.
That's my choice.
I'm afraid it was the cocaine. Just a few weeks ago, Guatemalan police intercepted 1.3 tons of cocaine on its way to Mexico. It was packed in containers, each marked with a smiling Hello Kitty on it.
I wonder if that was probably copyright infringement.
It might be, and I know you're sensitive to that. What was hard about this was we were writing up this question, and we were trying to find like two fake things that Hello Kitty has not been on.
It's hard.
It's hard. For example, one of our original ideas was Hello Kitty condoms. They exist.
Mm. I don't even want to think about that.
The Hello Kitty AK-47.
No.
It exists.
Oh.
The thought of a Hello Kitty condom just sort of makes my night.
It really does.
Really brings a whole new meaning to Hello Kitty, doesn't
it? Yeah, really
it
does. Hello Kitty.
I thought it, but I wasn't.
That does not deserve it. That joke was just hanging there.
Thanks for chopping it down.
Yeah. You have one more question. Here we go. Get this one right.
I'm hanging by a thread here.
You can do this. Barney the Purple Dinosaur is, of course, a huge hit on children's TV. Has been for years. However, he recently played a key role in world events. What? A, President Bush mentioned to a friend that everything he knew about treating other people he learned from Barney. B, a dispute over the rights to manufacture Barney dolls has led to a violent fight between factory workers in Malaysia. Or C, U.S. soldiers used Barney songs to break the will of prisoners right after the invasion of Iraq.
These all sound very plausible to me, too. Is there anything there about Barney condoms?
No.
Brings a whole new meaning to the concept of a purple dinosaur.
Troops used Barney what to break the will of...
They used Barney songs. You know, like, I love you, you love me.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to go for that one. I'm going to go for C.
They used Barney songs to interrogate prisoners. You're right, sir. Well done. They played Barney songs as well as heavy metal and Sesame Street music at prisoners in order to wear them down. One operative told the BBC, quote, in training, they forced me to listen to the Barney I Love You song for 45 minutes. I never want to go through that again, unquote. Carl, how did Stephen King do on our quiz?
He needed two correct answers to win for Laird and Diane Cantor, but he had just one correct answer, Peter.
Oh. Do you have any imaginative ideas for the vengeance you could wreak upon us?
No, all I can do is kind of, you know, guilt trip you and say I did my best.
You did.
That hurts more than anything.
It really does. Stephen King is one of the best-selling authors in the history of letters. His most recent book, as written by the pseudonymous Richard Bachman, is Duma Key. Stephen King, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
what a pleasure
you.
To have you.
Thank you.